that very few people really understand the nature of the problem. And I think that your article here basically lays out the problem, which is that when you have people who try to make this claim that they are loyal to America and at the same time loyal to a foreign government, it is a lie.
It is, and it's more than that, Mark. What we need to stand up and say is not only did they attack the USS Liberty, they did 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
They did it. I have had long conversations over the past 2 weeks with contacts at the Army War College, at its headquarters, Marine Corps, and I've made it absolutely clear in both cases that it is 100% certain that 9/11 was a Mossad operation,
mm-hmm.
period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, Phil, I don't denigrate what happened to USS Liberty in the slightest. You understand that. But for most Americans, you know, what happened to the USS Liberty or in Vietnam was history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is history. You know, they can be concerned about it, but they're not going to get mad about it.
Right.
9/11 has led directly to 60,000 Americans dead and wounded. God knows how many hundreds of thousands of people in other countries we've killed or wounded or made homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an ongoing sore. It's not your sore from the USS Liberty. It's not my sore from Vietnam. Both of us have those. Both of us care about it. But this is an ongoing, this is an open wound. And what Americans need to understand, they did it.
Mm-hmm.
They did it. And if they do understand that, Israel's going to disappear. Israel will flat-ass disappear from this earth. If you know, I sent a film to one of my colleagues, and it basically had Americans grieving over their dead, coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed one of them, it was a woman, just wrenched by grief, you know, over her dead soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, if Americans ever know that Israel did this, they're going to scrub them off the earth, and they're not going to give a rat's ass, forgive my language, what the cost is. They are not going to care. They will do it.
Alan, your article and your heart and your testimony and what you believe in is heart-wrenching to me. It is like our founding fathers in their shadows talking and saying, we have to fix this. We have to make our own way, and we have to do it now or we will go down.
Exactly.
And
absolutely, Phil. I agree fully.
Your article needs to be shipped off to the Library of Congress immediately.
Well, I can tell you it's being read by some people in headquarters, Marine Corps, and at the Army War College. I sent it off to them this past week, and I've had some long discussions with people up there, and there are some really, really unhappy people.
What are they saying? If you can talk about that, Dr. Sprosky, what? You know, I'm curious.
Astonishment.
Okay.
The first thing, Mark, is astonishment. They didn't know. They truly didn't know. And these are not unintelligent people. They really didn't know. And the next statement is rage.
Mm-hmm.
Real rage. And the Zionists are playing this as truly an all or nothing exercise,
mm-hmm.
because if they lose this one,
that's it.
If the American people ever realize what's
right.
happened,
mm-hmm.
they're done.
That's it.
And I will tell you frankly, I don't think either one of you has any Jewish ancestry. I do. You know, I have one grandparent who's Jewish. As Phil Weiss from Mondo Weiss and I were talking about it, you know, he's a Jewish guy who puts a lot of critical stuff out there on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, for the Orthodox rabbinate, I'm not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the Nazis, I've been there.
Right.
You know, and if this explodes, I'm going to go down with the rest of them.
Right.
And I know this. I flat out know this.
Mm-hmm.
But if if that was what was, if that was the price for making America whole again, when I took my oath 51 years ago to the United States Marine Corps, no one promised us life. No one did. They promised us duty and loyalty and service and maybe death. And that's how they talked to us in 1959. I don't think they talked to them that way anymore. But in 1959 they did. And if my death were a requirement for the saving of America, well, hell, I could have died in Vietnam.
Right.
You know, it's my service, my country, my corps. And Phil, it's like you in the Navy. You know, we signed on to this, and we love our service, and none of us wishes to die. I mean, certainly I don't. You know, I don't think either one of you guys do. But if that's the price, then that's the price I paid. I mean that.
You know, Alan, when you're talking about Marines, I have the utmost respect, and I know your duty to country, and you know, when the torpedo hit our ship, and I opened up the scuttle, guess who I pulled out of there? A United States Marine named Bryce Lockwood, and he was holding on to another sailor, and saved his life, and he received a Silver Star, and God bless him for that, and I understand wholeheartedly. What's in your heart? Because I have it in my heart. I didn't learn it by becoming a sailor as such, but I learned it through the grace of God for saving our ship. I learned it through scholars like you. I've learned it through good friends like Mark Glenn and my shipmates. And I've learned it through actions of Israel. And when you struck me very, very hard just a second ago when you talked about 9-1-1, you're very willing to say that, yeah, they did it, 9-1-1. Yes, they did. And you know, my heart broke, and I saw that plane, the last one, go into the tower. And to see that, I mean, I know it's in your heart, Mark's, and everybody else's, to see your fellow Americans being slaughtered and murdered just as they did the USS Liberty, Alan, it is something that if we don't talk about it, if we don't tell people about it, I believe God wants us to. I believe God wants us to, and if we don't, shame on us.
Well, it's not just
that. I agree very much on that side, and I'll tell you if... you know, I have a dream, as Martin Luther King Jr. once said, you know, and my dream is that the 5th and 6th U.S. fleets take Israel and cream it.
Well, you know what, just for the record.
And that's the end of it.
Just for the record.
Absolutely.
Just for the record, Dr. Sprosky, it was about 3 years ago, and I can remember distinctly I was on a radio program, and this was in the run-up to the reunion that the Liberty guys were going to be having in D.C., and I made a prediction on the air that I believed with all my heart at the time, and I believe with all my heart now. But someday, some way, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. I have my suspicions. But someday and some way, maybe a lot sooner than any of us realize, the United States is going to find herself at war with Israel. And I mean a real live shooting war. Now, technically speaking, we are at war with her because she is at war with us. She is out to destroy us. We just haven't figured it out yet. My personal prediction is that probably, again, sooner than any of us realize or would like to envision, Israel is going to pull off another 9/11. She's going to pull off another USS Liberty. Obviously, some pretty powerful people in some pretty prominent places, such as Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Mike Mullen, believe that this is a possibility because he cut short a trip that he had made to Europe a few years ago to hastily fly to Israel to meet with his counterpart and warn him in no uncertain terms how important it was that there not be another USS Liberty Part 2. So, and as far as what you two fellows were just talking about, that we need to talk about this, I'm going to offer another theory here for discussion. We would already have had that 9/11 Part 2 or that USS Liberty Part 2. That would already have been a fait accompli were it not for the fact that a growing number of people have been talking about this problem now for the last, since 9/11. I think that Israel has been watching all of this and has been saying we need to kind of let things cool down a little bit for now. If we pull another one off, try to pull another one off right now, then that's it. We're going to blow our cover.
It's not only a matter of blowing our cover. If Americans ever truly understand that, their history, you know, it'll be a bloody, brutal war, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is it's not even going to be a close contest.
Well,
and they know that, and what they understand, I think, as well, is that their leverage is on the political appointments.
Mm-hmm.
Their leverage is not in the uniformed services. There are lots. If you pick up the Army Times or the Navy Times or any of the journals of any of the services, you get a very different view than you get looking at the Congress and the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And the military has not been bought. The military is loyal, but it has not been bought.
Mm-hmm.
And if it ever understands this, really, really deeply understands this, and this is what I got when I put some of these things to the Army War College and to Headquarters Marine Corps, and I mentioned to a contact at Headquarters Marine Corps, I said, you know they did 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you don't mean it. I said, absolutely. And if they ever understand that, these people are history.
Well, now let me ask you something, Doctor, and obviously I understand that, you know, you've got, we need to protect the names of the innocent here, and you know, this is
there are no innocent.
Okay. I'd like to know a little bit more about this. I mean, these conversations that you're having with your colleagues who are still serving in uniform, what is the reaction on their part when you tell them things like this?
First, it's disbelief. And what I show them immediately afterwards is an interview with a Danish demolitions expert,
mm-hmm,
named Danny Jawenko,
mm-hmm,
and it shows the third building at the World Trade Center going down,
mm-hmm,
WTC-7.
Right.
And they look at that, and I said, now you understand that if one of the buildings was wired for demolition, all of them were wired for demolition.
Right.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, getting into arguments about who was flying what and where they were and whether there was nanothermite, those things are true, but they're incidental.
Right.
The thing that's necessary is to tell people three buildings went down, the third was not hit by a plane, it was wired for controlled demolition, therefore all of them were wired for,
mm-hmm,
controlled demolition, and at that point the reaction is rage. First disbelief and then rage.
Well, I got to tell you, that I find to be very encouraging because, you know, based upon the cursory conversations I have with some military people, and I have to be real careful about what I say because you just don't know what you're walking into when you start a discussion of this type with one of them. Based upon these, as I said, cursory conversations that I've had with some of them, they're clueless and they don't want to hear about it. You know, they are loyal to the flag that is on that on their left sleeve on as a patch, and the thought that the government could be in any way involved in any kind of high crimes and treason against the United States, people of the United States, is just unthinkable to them. So I'm glad to hear that there still is some gray matter and some patriotism left, at least in the circles where you travel, Dr. Sabrowski.
Well, I mean, it's not that they don't want to hear it, it's that they don't know of it. And, you know, what I have done when I presented it to these people, and I said, just look at this picture. You know, I'm not going to give you an argument, just look at it. And they look at the film, and without exception, they come back and they say, they did it, didn't they? I said, yep, they did it.
You know, can I jump in here for a second? I just wanted to, I just wanted to mention that talking about military people, some of the most distinguished military people that I've ever had the pleasure to be around is Admiral Thomas Moore, former Joint Chiefs of Staff, which supported us completely, the USS Liberty investigation and so on and so forth. And then Ray Davis, he was the Commandant of the United States Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
And he directly said that the, this is of course not going to 911, but he directly said that the USS Liberty was not a mistaken identity. It was an act of cold-blooded premeditated murder. So there are people out there in the military, and now these guys were retired at the time, but when you're educating people like you're doing, Alan, people just in the military now, you're exactly right. They just don't know because nobody knows. It's been hit up. Everything's been hit. It's been covered up so good that it's, it'll almost take the Messiah to get us out of this thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dr. Zabrowski, I wanted to ask you, since we are, to a certain degree, prognosticating today and making predictions, what do you think is going to happen here? I mean, you know, I was having a conversation with someone the other day about this situation with Iran. And the fact of the matter is that irrespective of whether or not Iran is actually actively engaged in building a nuclear weapon or not, the fact of the matter is that Israel cannot afford to have this war not take place. There has to be something that takes place, even if it's just lobbing a couple of bombs into Iran and then really spectacularizing it through their control of the media. They have to do something to recoup some of their public image. So would you agree with me on that? And assuming that you do agree with me on that, what do you think Israel is going to be doing in the near future?
We're going to have a war with Iran, and my guess is that the Arab Street is going to explode.
I agree.
And American forces, American units, like 5th Fleet headquarters in Bahrain, the rest of it, you know, there's going to be a casualty list that we're not even going to care to think about.
Alan, you know, I think this thing was predestined from day one. They started in Afghanistan, they go to Iraq, and Iran has been the big prize all along. What do you think?
Yep, no question at all. And in fact, if the Iraqi resistance hadn't been so strong, it would have already happened in the second Bush administration.
Absolutely, I agree 100%.
So all of this reticence, reluctance, whatever you want to call it, what appears to be reticence and reluctance on the part of the Obama administration, what do you think is going on? I mean, look, just this past week, we had some what I consider to be pretty dramatic things being said on the part of the Obama administration with regards to Israel, with the settlements and whatnot. What is this? Is this just posturing on the part of the Obama administration, or are they really trying to pull back on the reins?
The Obama administration hasn't withheld a single dollar, a single plane, nothing. You know, words are cheap. You know, that's the Israelis made a tactical error in that they insulted Biden, and Biden is not one of my favorite people, but he is a street smart guy and he doesn't like being humiliated.
Sure.
You know, I mean this is a given, but nothing has happened to affect in a tangible sense anything that we're giving to Israel. Nothing. And as long as nothing happens to tangibly affect what we're giving to them, nothing else will matter.
Okay. Why are we not already at war with Iran then?
Partly because we can't find a good enough excuse for it that will allow us to sidestep what we're doing in Afghanistan and to a lesser extent Iraq.
Okay.
You know, it's that there's just a little too much there. I'm pretty sure that the pattern was Afghanistan in 2001, mm-hmm. Iraq 2003, Iran 2005, mm-hmm. Syria 2007.
Okay.
The problem was that the Iraqi resistance didn't let that happen.
I see.
So now now the time frame is a little bit different. And I'm not sure how that's going to play out, but I think that, you know, the way we're going to it is to try and create an excuse for a war.
Mm-hmm.
And after the war takes place, you know, people can question it, but it doesn't change the fact of the war.
Yeah.